From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
All right, let's see if we can. I had my microphone. I had technical difficulties, man. I was saying all this stuff. I'll shorten it up real quick. Rink podcast with Ranger Proud. We had a great dialogue last week. We have not won since then. Two losses in Pittsburgh. Loss versus the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Let's see if anybody can hear me out there real quick. Hey, Glenn, are you out there, bro? How's everything, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Steve, I hear you now. There was a little trouble, but I hear you now.
Yeah, you know what? Here's what happened, man. I'm all talking. I had a great opening as far as what happened since the Devils game last week, Glenn. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm speaking. I realized my microphone's not even plugged in. I said, yeah. Oh, no wonder. No wonder.
I was wondering where you went.
yeah, man. We have got to discuss, man, of what happened, man. Craig, what's going on, bro? How's everything, man? We'll get this dialogue popping because we need to discuss. Craig, what's up, man? How's everything?
Good, Steve. Steve's good. We're doing good, man. We got about 8 inches of snow here in Iowa yesterday, so the lakes are frozen and we're out skating. But man, yeah, we got some stuff to talk about these last three games.
We have got to, because I was mentioning that and I didn't realize my microphone was even plugged in. I was talking about how disgusted I was in the second Pittsburgh game, especially. But both of them were really annoying, that really ruined the weekend. But the second game, especially, not closing the game, really bothered the hell out of me. I know you get the 1 point from the shootout from the Friday game, but outside of that, I mean, we were in a funk, and we don't have a lot of time to play with. And then we got to talk about Hedo, man. Like, Hedo's out for a long period of time, and we already don't have the quality of centers as is. So this could get ugly. I mean, it's ugly now. It's ugly now. So, Glenn, let's talk about this, man. Buffalo wins. This was a game I kind of expected to win, Glenn. I want to get your thoughts on this. And I wanted to say this before you go ahead, Glenn. I mean, the faceoff tonight was terrible tonight. I remember one point it was like 33% went in our faceoffs.
Yep.
It's probably worse now because the last two faceoffs went 50% on the power play. And then also, there's a couple of guys I wrote down tonight, Glenn and Craig. I really wanted to focus on Panarin tonight. Me personally, I picked random Ranger players who I thought were going to play. You know, who we needed to see their games under a microscope. Panarin, I have a lot to say about Panarin. I'll get to that a little bit later. Buchnevich, Trouba, and Lindgren. Now, Keandre Miller had a good game tonight, but I want to get your thoughts, Glenn, and then Craig will go to you, and then we'll get some thoughts, man. Go ahead, Glenn, get your thoughts as far as this game and also the last couple of games versus the Penguins.
Yeah, tonight was pretty disappointing. We had spoken last week, I think, about the team getting off to slow starts, and tonight they got off to a good start. I thought they had a pretty good first period. Got the first goal, got that late goal from Keandre Miller, and I liked the way we played. Then in the second period, we just kind of regressed. I thought Buffalo, you know, I wouldn't say dominated that period, but played a lot better than we did. We seemed to have a little bit of trouble in the second period with Buffalo's speed for some reason. I'm a little concerned about the offense. The offense just seems a little off. I mean, the passes are not crisp. They're making a lot of passes that are ill-advised, and they just never seem to be able to get set up in the offensive zone. And, you know, that's kind of worrisome because, you know, our two best forwards have been Buchnevich and Hedl, probably, and now Hedl's out for an extended period of time. And face-offs, again, like you said tonight, continue to be a problem. I mean, I think they need to find some guy out there. I mean, the guy that comes to mind to me is a guy like McTavish, who's you know, not necessarily an offensive threat, but a guy who's a veteran, a guy who's going to win, you know, 55% of his faceoffs, be able to have him out there for defensive faceoffs. That's the way they used to do it. When you had a great faceoff guy, you sent him out there for defensive faceoffs to get the puck out of the zone, and then he'd skate off. Like you say, Steve, a lot of things to talk about with this team that need to be addressed before we go from this season goes from looking to make the playoffs to just looking to develop, you know, the kids, because by the time we talk next week, they could be 8-10 points out of a playoff spot.
That's not a good sign, man. Craig, what's your thoughts, man? You heard Glenn speak, and your thoughts from not just this game, but the two games in Pittsburgh. And I mean, I already got my thoughts out. Love to hear yours, bro.
Yeah, I agree with Glenn completely. I don't know what's going on with that offense, and then our defense is still just seems slow as molasses. Like, I mean, we get beat. You know, Trouba gets beat on that somewhat shorthanded goal. And then Fox gets the hooking penalty or the holding penalty because he's getting beat. And, you know, it just – I don't get the inconsistency where we start off strong against Pittsburgh. Yeah, we got the point, but started off strong the second game and then just blew it. And then that the second period this game, I don't know why we can't play like we did from the 10th minute till about the 16th minute of the third period tonight, where we had the urgency, we were taking shots on goals. And, you know, again, it goes back to those faceoffs. When you're not winning the faceoffs, that's why we're going, you know, we're 4-for-26 on our power plays. And hey, that's obvious. We're not going to win the faceoff. You got Buffalo that is almost purposely icing the puck because they're not afraid to face off in their defensive zone because they're just killing us on faceoffs. So that's where a lot of work. You know, and one thing I want to add too, which we can talk about or not, but I'm excited to see what Blackwell is going to do because I think he's come in and played strong as a new guy. So I'm excited to see where he goes this year.
Yeah, I that's one of the points I had, Craig. I thought Blackwell was pretty fair tonight. He had a very good first period, and I thought he had some good shifts even in the Pittsburgh game. So I thought he brought some good things to the table at the bottom six, man. I really do believe that. So he's actually on my good list. I want to go back to – matter of fact, I'm going to come back to you, Craig, and then we could go to Glenn because you mentioned Trouba. And this is what pissed me off about the broadcast. And I love Joe Micheletti, and I like – no, I love Sam Rosen too. I love them both. But to say that – blame that on Tony DeAngelo when Trouba cannot secure the puck at the end of the power play and it turned into a shorthand goal situation, get out of here with that bullshit. Fuck that. If that's ever throwing Tony DeAngelo under the bus where Trouba clearly misplayed the puck that allowed that, if you want to call it a shorthand goal or not shorthand goal, basically an open breakaway because Trouba ain't do his job with securing that puck. You can't blame that on Tony DeAngelo. I mean, yeah, he should have played back, but come on, you got to get the puck, right?
Let me tell you about announcers, and when it comes to announcers, I'm going to date myself here, but long, long time ago, Harry Carey used to be the announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals, right? And all he would do was trash their players, and guess what? He got fired. Now, he was with the Cubs, and they made him a drunk, and that's why he was so entertaining, rest his soul. But, you know, those announcers, yeah, I think they are going to side with what they're hearing, and everybody's on DeAngelo, and that wasn't DeAngelo's fault. That was all Trouba right there, man, all Trouba. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We just, and that's the thing. I mean, that guy, he's got, oh, man, he had three shorthanded goals, I think, last year, and we're letting them skate right by us.
Glenn, what about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Trouba is off to a slow start, both defensively and offensively. I don't think he's played very well in any of the games where he's really stood out. I mean, our best two defensemen have really been Fox, who's been, you know, Fox. I mean, the guy's really good. And Keandre Miller, You know, and I think we were looking for, and this is even bigger than Trouba. I think going into the season, we were looking to, you know, Zibanejad, Panarin, Strome, Kreider, and Trouba as, you know, the pillars of this team that were going to be able to help the young kids along. And to be honest, so far it's been the kids that have shined. You know, and guys like Blackwell, like we said, who got a goal in Pittsburgh. And I'm still kind of waiting for the big guys to show up. They've really not been, you know, very visible in the first six games here. And we're going to need that going forward, and we're going to need it quick.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with exactly everything you said, because I have a laundry list for Panarin, and that's not even a knock him, but we got to be objective here. He had a lot of good opportunities tonight, especially in this third period, and especially on that last power play, hesitating and shooting, deflecting off Sabre players. You are absolutely correct. We need, I mean, there may be even a reason why we don't have the captainship, because everybody's wearing the A, because the top guns, you know, like you said, Zibanejad, Panarin, through these several, well, five, six games, whatever it's been, has been very, very quiet. Now, I'll say this, we'll bring on Ranger Proud. Let me say this real quick about Trouba tonight. And I agree with everything you said, offensively, defensively, as far as even strength hockey, he was mediocre, if at best. But I thought he did some good things on the last two penalty kills to keep the Rangers in the game when they drew those penalties. So I thought he was fine. And then to your point, Glenn, I agree. Buchnevich has been the best Ranger this season. Tonight, he had a great turnover, the takeaway that set up the Kreider goal. And then he had did some great things on the last couple of penalty kills, especially in the neutral zone with Polchek. Defensively, he's done his job. You know, he's actually had some inaccurate shots. We got to be fair, you know, and especially in the Pittsburgh game, he's been inaccurate, you know. But as far as creating, like he did we talked about it last week when he fought off Jack Hughes to set up one goal. I forgot who it was who scored that goal. It was Hedl. Hedl scored a goal, and then tonight it was Kreider. And all that was from Buchnevich. And then, like you said, Keandre Miller, can't even ask anything more out of him. He did a great job against Jack Eichel whenever they matched up. And he had the late goal in the first period. And then even in the setup, the power play tonight, Taylor Hall had the penalty on him. Keandre Miller's been fantastic. But then all these other Rangers got it. It's really the league guys that need to pick up the slack. Zibanejad, the Panarins, those guys, we need to see more out of them. Ranger Proud, of course, Twitter, and Downtown Sports Media, Forever Blue Shirts, Twitter, and of course, Facebook fan page, RP, Glenn, and Craig, and myself. We're having an event session, another loss. This game, I thought we should have won. I mean, I was expecting to win, RP. What's going on, bro? How's everything? And, man, we got a lot to talk.
Yeah. You know something? It's getting old already pretty quick, but I got to tell you, the veterans aren't scoring, and I really don't like the moves David Quinn's making with the lines. I know that's easy to say now. If you want to get Lafreniere jump-started, you need to put him with the better guys and leave him there for a little while. You can't keep jumping him from first line to third line, from great plays like, you know, Zibanejad centering him or playing with Panarin, and then he puts him down to Howden as a center. It's a totally different aspect. It turns from a high-scoring offensive unit to trying to keep the other guys off the scoreboard, which is not Lafreniere's game. It's not Kako's game either. Seeing DiGiuseppe on the second line wing had Jesper Fast written all over it, all over again.
Mm-hmm.
He went through after 2 years that he wasn't a top six forward. He was a good forward, but he wasn't a top six forward. And then you go and put DiGiuseppe up there, who earned the ice time. If you want to reward him for ice time, put him on the third line. Keep him on the third line. That's his style. He's not a goal scorer. And I don't understand those moves. And I know he's the head coach, and I'm just the blogger podcast guy, but I don't understand how you're putting Jack Johnson in over Brendan Smith. I mean, he took a bad penalty today early in the game to put the Rangers in a bind early on, and I just don't see it. And if he keeps making these moves, he's sort of opening the door to get himself in trouble, because you can't keep blaming the players when you keep changing lines every game and every period. we can criticize how the top six forwards aren't responding and playing as good as they should be, and that's damn right. But if you keep changing your wingers and centers every game, every period, he's making Alain Vigneault look like the greatest thing since sliced bread, and that guy loved to change lines all the time. It can't be done.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep demanding quality production on all four lines, and you keep messing up the top two lines all the time. And I know the Hedl thing kind of put a kink into the whole game plan, and I can understand that. But overall, he's been changing lines all five games now nonstop. And if we want to keep venting, boys, our goaltenders haven't made a big save the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, nervous or not, you're five games in. I had always told Steve before this season started that I would think five games is a pretty good factor since there was no preseason. And you can say that they're pros and all of that, but Shesterkin, Gorgiev, all of them, you know, you need shots, you need quality. So you give them a little bit of a break, and the break is over. You've got mm-hmm. 1-1 in the first five games, 2 points out of 10. Buffalo's got two wins ahead of us right now. It's a scary thought when you look at it. They need to figure out what's going on and fix it really fast because these games are just flying by. Now you're down to 51 games left in the season. It's not a lot of time.
RP, tonight's game, you know, you mentioned a lot of the line changes, and I was following exactly what you were saying as far as the musical chairs or musical skates. Like, Panarin was all over the place tonight, especially in the third period. You saw, you know, lines with DiGiuseppe and Howden with Panarin, then also with Strome and Kako. Then you saw, you know, the interchangeable with Buchnevich, Zibanejad, and Lafreniere. I mean, it's kind of hard to get a rhythm going. I mean, I understand line changes, but when you do it too much, you can't have a rhythm with the core guys you're with. You have to try to. I don't know if that's because of, you know, Hedl not being there. You're trying to really get a quick spark in a short time frame. I don't know if that's going to work. But what did you would you say as far as the lines? We'll go back to Glenn about that. As far as the combinations that you did or did not like from Quinn. Because I think this may be the game he had the most line changes out of all of them since the start of the season.
You know, the fourth line was a good line. I really didn't like the line combos tonight, only because as much as Lafreniere's line was energetic, when you're the third line and you're down a goal, he's not going to be playing them a lot, and he didn't tonight. You know, they were up. They scored two goals in the first period, one with 6 seconds left in the first period, the great goal by Miller. And then the Rangers had no offense the rest of the game. That doesn't mean you have to change the lines up. The problem is that the lines that he had, the second line just wasn't there. DiGiuseppe, to me, didn't help Strome and Panarin. I really like Lafreniere up over there. If he seems to be a little bit step behind, but he needs to adjust to that. And you can't adjust to that if you're playing on the third and fourth line. Not everybody can be developed the way they develop Hedl. Each player is different. Lafreniere has a lot of weight on him being the number one overall pick all around. It's taking him a little bit of time to get adjusted. It's taking him a lot of time to get comfortable. Understandable that that's going to happen. But some of his lines, the lines tonight just to me didn't do it, and it showed they only scored two goals. He has to find a way to get his big guys going. He can't be worried about Kako not scoring, Lafreniere struggling as a rookie, and his defensive pairings that he's changing every day. Because he's under this impression that you have to play the best player every night instead of giving a little bit of time. These guys can't look over their shoulder to make a mistake, and he benches them. He did it to Lemieux. He did it to D'Angelo. He did it to Jack Johnson, even though he hasn't been playing well anyway. That's not the way you play hockey. You can't be penalized every time you make a mistake or you do a stupid penalty. It's going to happen in a game. It's going to happen when you're playing against the better players in the league. He's not giving his players that cushion to get relaxed on the ice, and it's showing.
Yeah. Glenn, let's get your thoughts. You know, as far as what RP said, as far as the lines changing, and let's not even forget about Pittsburgh. We didn't even get RP's thoughts about that. We'll get that maybe next go around as far as how it ends, you know, the second Pittsburgh game especially. Well, but, Glenn, you know, I think the Rangers are drawing too many penalties as well
that's
tonight, even last week, and not winning the faceoffs now. I definitely looked at, like we said earlier, as far as late game winning. They were 50% on the late game faceoffs on that power play. You know, they won the first one, they lost the second one. But the power play unit is there, but they got to cash in. And these are little things I'm noticing. But what else, you know, now that Hedo's out, and like you said, that's pretty much been our top two guy this season up until this point. Pittsburgh game, what's your thoughts on what happened in the Pittsburgh game? And how we had those leads, and that just didn't close the deal on that. And then tonight, and I mean, this is all a carryover since the Devil game last week.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty disconcerting, the second Pittsburgh game, where we had that lead going into the third period, and we let it get away. You know, I mean, you can say, well, it's mostly a young team, young goaltenders, you know. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I was an old goalie. Back in the day. And the two goals that Shesterkin gave up in the third period, if it was me, I'd be saying to myself, those are my fault. I had to make those saves. You know, I don't know what happened on the first one that went over his shoulder, if it did get deflected a little bit. But, you know, the second goal that went through his legs late, you got to make that save. You know, and like RP said, I mean, I think the goaltenders have not made big saves when it's mattered. Georgiev tonight, you know, on that breakaway, he tried to poke check the puck away from Reeder, and I think it got him a little bit off balance because, I mean, Reeder was, you know, way off to the side there when he scored that goal. And I think trying to poke check the puck away, he got a little off balance and couldn't move laterally as fast as he would have liked to. You know, right now there's not much going well. You know, I mean, they haven't played terrible. I thought they played pretty well over the weekend. They should have won at least one of those games. Tonight was, you know, I mean, they addressed the thing that we spoke about of getting off to a good start, and then they kind of sagged in the middle. And then, as you guys said, kind of turned it on a little bit toward the end where, you know, I thought maybe especially when we pulled a goalie and then we had a power play, you know, 6-on-4, we might be able to, you know, to tie it up. But I'll hold off on Panarin because I've got some ideas about that, too. So I'll hold off on that until you raise that, Steve. One other thing I will address about the line changes that RP was talking about, you know, I'm gonna date myself like Craig did when I was watching hockey for a long time. You know, lines stayed together for years, and I know now it's different. Guys try to, you know, coaches try to plug guys in here and there, and guys on the first line, then he's on the third line, he's on the first power play, then he's not on the power play at all, and you know, but this, you know, the idea, like Quinn was saying, moving Buchnevich on the second line, on the first line, to the third line, because he's the one that's been playing well, and he wants to get the other guys going on the line. I mean, these are veterans with a track record. These guys should be able to get themselves going. Leave the lines alone. I think, to me, that's part of the problem that I had mentioned when we first came on about the passes just don't seem to be crisp. They seem to just be throwing the puck around. I think a lot of it is from guys, you know, not having training camp, not having exhibition games, and not being allowed to play together for a while. I think that's, you know, I know all coaches do it in the league now. A lot of times they'll keep two guys together and then mix and match with the third guy on the line. But I just wish he would leave the lines alone for 3 or 4 games and see what happens, you know, because it's not working right now, moving guys around. So try something different.
We'll go to Craig. As far as we were saying about Panarin and trying to get those guys going and get him going in particular, the veterans to lead off with this stuff. I mean, he seemed like he was out there forever in that third period, and they had a body on him at all costs. And I just feel like they need to find a ways to really get him open. And they got to, like RP said, if you want to have to move up Lafreniere so they can put pressure off him, I get that. And I kind of understand that strategy. But as far as the Blue Shirts, like you said, Glenn, with everything else that's going with the center, and I know I'm gonna come back to RP about this one because this is something we kind of talked on the offseason with the lack of centers. This might bite us in the rear end on this one. With now with Hedo out, we can get to that. Glenn, what you said about the passing, there was a, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was Howden. If he had hit Kako on the backside, there was a wide open net. That could have tied the game up at three, but the pass was too long. It's little things like that where the Rangers are there. And Kako, it wasn't Kako's fault. I just think it was just a long pass. That, I mean, this game could have been 3-3. You know what I'm talking about, Glenn?
I remember that play. Yep, I know the one you're talking about. You're exactly right. The pass was just a little bit too far ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tell me what you think, guys, since we're talking about Panarin. I mean, two things I've noticed about Aaron is, first of all, I feel like, you know, he's got that, he's always, you know, at that left circle, kind of Ovechkin-like, to take that one-timer. It seems two things to me. I feel like he's a little further back than he was last year, more toward the top of the circle than closer into the net. And the other thing that it seems to me that goes back to the passing is it just seems like the passes aren't getting to him fast enough. You know, he's getting a lot of shots blocked, and it seems like the passes are not sharp, and the opposing team is able to kind of shift their players over to his side, and that shot's getting blocked a lot. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but I feel like I have. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I think it's like Ovechkin. Everybody knows where he's going to be standing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What worked last year now is kind of scouted out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not working. It's also a combo that Strome is really forcing the issue because he only has one goal. He can't get jump started. It just seems, and this has happened in many years, the Ranger team is all slumping at the same time. On the offensive side of the puck, you're all waiting for Lafreniere to become Wayne Gretzky in one play, which is just ridiculous. They're waiting for Panarin to be the Panarin of last year, and the same with Zibanejad. And in this league, it's not that easy. In this division, it's not that easy. And it's the coach's job to kind of mix it up and try to figure out what works and doesn't work by giving it time. I'm not the guy that blames the coach off, and you guys know that, but he's got to start figuring it out, and sometimes the right move is no move.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just don't. I'm just going to go. I'm going to let my team work it out. They made it to the playoffs this year because they got on a hot streak. Yeah, he put the lines together, but they're the guys that were putting the puck in the net and stopping the other team and playing some incredible hockey, and he had the faith in them to do it. And right now, the only two plays look like he has faith in is Fox and Miller, which is great, but you're not going to score a lot of goals that way either.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool. Hey, Craig, what's your thoughts as far as, you know, with Panarin, but also going back to the points as far as you said, in the defense being slow as Molasses, Trouba, you know, like I think even Strength defensively, he's been at mediocre at best. Anything else you'd like to add from the other points?
Yeah, well, I agree with Glenn, you know, when you talk in like what you said, Steve, was you're not going to get a rhythm going with anybody. If you're just going to keep changing the lines, you're going to keep moving people around, you're not going to build any confidence because those guys are going to be thinking, oh, shoot, like you said, Glenn, you make one bad move and all of a sudden you're off the ice. And so I think when it comes to everything, it feels like each game there's somebody different that doesn't seem to be doing their job. And it's not just one person except for maybe Jack Johnson, but you know, it's usually not just one person, and that's because these guys don't get a chance to build any confidence, to build any rapport with each other, you know, to learn each other's passing and shooting and just, you know where they're going to be. You know, hockey's a lot like soccer. I coach soccer, and I always taught the kids, you don't always have to be open to get a pass, you know, because the pass is going to go in front of you. And what happens is those kids build a relationship where they know, okay, this left wing is going to be moving forward if I pass the puck up, and this right wing is going to be staying back. That's where his kind of forte is. But they can't build that if they're just moving around all the time. And I think that comes with the passing, with the shooting, you know, and everything else. And nobody knows where to go because they don't know each person's forte per se. You know, as far as the defense, I still go back to that scene from Miracle where Herb Brooks got those guys on the line, just got them running the ice, skating the ice until they're almost throwing up. get that agility built up or something, because that's where a lot of our penalties have been coming from, where the holding penalties and hooking, and, you know, because we're getting beat. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's same thing with the goalkeepers. I don't know. I just think you have to, where we're at now, I mean, with one win and this much into a shortened season, we might as well just let's keep people in their place for 3 or 4 games, see what happens. Let them build that confidence.
All right. Ranger Proud, anything else you'd like to add? I mean, even going back to the Pittsburgh game and now how does this affect Hedo? Now, RP, I got to add, especially now that we played against Buffalo, and I saw Rangers Twitter after the power play goal by Jack Eichel. Man, you already know what was coming after that. See, we should have got Eichel. We should have got Eichel in the offseason. We had a lot of that on social media. The pressure on Mika Zibanejad, man. I mean, now that we already kind of thin at that that particular position at center, how can you foresee what's going to happen now in the short, immediate future, based off what you saw tonight? All the line changes, no Hedo, Zibanejad's not getting going, and Stroman's kind of been inconsistent or not as productive in a lot of the situations he's been placed in. How you see this with the center's RP, and anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'm gonna add this quick because I gotta unfortunately end our podcast early today. So let me just say, Zibanejad's a pro, and I'm not worried about him. He normally takes a little bit of time to get going. Everybody didn't have preseason, so I don't really use that as an excuse. He seems fast. He's winning his draws. He's just not putting the puck in the net. I'm sure that's gonna come on. Less worried about him than I am about Panarin and Strom. And guys, this theory that Pavel Buchnevich is going to jumpstart all our top players is scary. When last year the Rangers didn't know they were going to sign him to an extension and they were going to trade him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where all these theories are and all. It's the same team they had last year to an extent, but every year is different. Expectations are really high, and I think the Rangers are really squeezing their sticks a lot. And I don't like to put blame or past judgment. We're so used for the last 15 years of the goaltender making a big save to keep you close in a game or tied in a game, and then we build momentum off of that, and we haven't had that this season. And it's going to come. We just hope it doesn't come too late. Now, Gorgiev hasn't played bad. You can't say he's played horrible. The problem is that both goalies have let in a soft goal or at least one soft goal in every game except for the shutout against the Islanders. Mm-hmm. That has to end. Shesterkin looks lost. I don't know what it is. He doesn't look enthused. I mean, heck, my daughter saw it in warm-ups. It's like, he doesn't look like he wants to be on the ice, and she's right. There's something missing on Shesterkin. I don't know what it is. Gorgiev is just sometimes snake-bitten. I think between the two, Gorgiev has played better hockey than Shesterkin. I don't know if this alternating thing is going to go. I know it's a 56-game season, but this early part of the season, there weren't a lot of hockey games. And I thought he should have tried to find that hot goalie. The problem is no goalie came out saying, I am the hot goalie. Yep. No goalie came out saying, I'm going to be the number one. It doesn't matter what you say. You know, I'm going to make it hard for you to take me out of the cage. That hasn't happened. And in turn, what happens, if it's more heat on the defenseman, Truba's really struggling. As much as he doesn't want to be, he's struggling. I like the way D'Angelo and Smith have played. They haven't played lights out, but they haven't played bad. They've both played better than Johnson. And then, of course, then you have Miller, who's playing probably the best defenseman on the team right now, right behind Adam Fox and Lindgren. So you have 3 strong defensemen and 3 weak defensemen. Doesn't it sound like last year all over again when we had Stahl?
Yeah.
Steve, you know where I stand with Stahl. I'd rather have Stahl than Johnson. Yep. At least we know what we had. I think it all leads from the back end to the front end.
Stahl's been better than Johnson this far.
Say that again?
I mean, through the first six games, Stahl would have been better than Johnson thus far.
Without a doubt. And I understand why they had to trade Stahl. It was a contract situation. And,
right,
and that's
right.
all good and fine, but Smith should be in the top six. If Smith, if Quinn was so high on Smith last year that he played him at forward and then at D when he needed him, he was like the perfect utility man to him, then why all of a sudden this year does everyone think Johnson's playing better than Smith? Because he's really not. And once again, you're not giving Smith time to get on the ice and do something productive because every time one mistake is made, he's benching them. You can't play hockey looking over your shoulder, guys. It's impossible to be on the ice saying, well, if I make a dumb play, he's going to sit me tomorrow. If I take a bad penalty, he's going to sit me tomorrow. If the puck bounces over my stick and I score on a 2-on-1, he's going to sit me tomorrow. It's never going to work. In any position, forward, center, goaltender, it's not going to work. You need to have the confidence in your coach to say, if you make a mistake, realize what you did and don't do it again. That's not happening. Anyway, boys, I got to cut you guys short tonight. I apologize for that. Steve, I'll talk to you and hopefully everyone next
any,
Tuesday.
Any articles coming down the pipe this week, Ranger Pride?
Nothing right now. I am so getting killed at work right now, boys. I haven't even looked at my computer in 2 days. I'll have something coming down and tell you guys like I always do. I probably have a lot to vent about the coach if I really sit down and think about it, but I need to get by tomorrow, and then we'll get to the writing and all. But keep on following Ranger Proud. I keep posting as much as I can in between having my head in the ceiling. So keep supporting. I appreciate it, boys. You have a good night.
Hey, shout out to Ranger Proud.
Good night, RP.
Let's get some final thoughts from Craig and Glenn. Glenn, give us your final thoughts. So we got, let's see, We play Buffalo again this in 2 days, so that will be Thursday. Then we got Pittsburgh back-to-back. So we're seeing the same teams in a week stretch. And then next Tuesday, we'll be back on at 9 o'clock, no post-game because there's no game. But, Glenn, give us your final thoughts on – you know, everything we've said or anything you want to recap going forward, then we'll get Craig's thoughts and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, to touch on a couple of things that RP said, I think he's right about the goaltending. Neither goalie has grabbed the number one job. They've both given Quinn a chance to, you know, kind of go back and forth and wait for them to wait for somebody to seize the opportunity. And you know, each goalie has given up a soft goal or two in every game except the shutout. And that hurts a team like this because we're playing one-goal games every night here. And you can't afford to give up a soft goal in a tough spot. So I think the goaltending is going to be okay. I think they're going to come around. But as of right now, that's been a sore spot. I closed out last week by saying that Brendan Smith has to stay in the lineup. I guess David Quinn doesn't listen to us because he put Johnson back in. So we got to get him on board, subscribe to listen. You know, I just think a lot of the things that are going on right now are all kind of interconnected. You talk about Strome kind of having a slow start. Well, Strome's success is Panarin. And if Panarin is not having success, then Strome's not going to. I mean, you know, Strome had, what, 45 assists last year? A lot of them went to Panarin. So if Panarin is not scoring, then what do you expect from Strome? You know? I agree. It's what RP said. It's kind of scary that we feel like Buchnevich is the guy that we got to move around to get everybody going. As far as Zibanejad, a quick thought on him. I mean, I wonder, you know, he did have COVID, and I wonder how much of that, the slow start he's getting off to is from that maybe he's not in as good a shape as he should be or that he'd like to be, and, you know, he'll just get stronger as we go along. The other thing I would mention about him is, you know, let's remember that what he did last year was, it would have been hard to duplicate. You know, he had that, I know he had 41 goals in 57 games or whatever it was, but he had that stretch where he had like 22 goals in 20 games. So, you know, to expect him to score, you know, in a shortened season, 30 or 35, might be a little bit too much to ask for. I mean, he's still a solid player. I love him. I want him to resign him and have him here a long time. I think he's outstanding. But I think we got to temper our expectations with him right now as far as, you know, was what he did last year a career year? Is something like that sustainable? And also, I just wonder if he's in the physical conditioning that he needs to be right now. So,
I
think
hey,
I want
to go back to you before you go. Hold on, before you go, because I'm glad you said that, because last year when we were doing this, RP and I and other Ranger fans, that was a topic. I asked mm-hmm. RP, I asked him, that production from Mika Zibanejad, is that what we are getting going forward, or is he overachieving? So you're saying that is he overachieving what he did last year based off, you know, his production?
Well, yeah, I mean, he had that incredible streak. You know, he scored half mm-hmm. of his goals in about 20-something games. I remember looking up his shooting percentage, which was outrageously high last year. Now, don't get me wrong. I think he's a star in this league. I think he's no mm-hmm. doubt a number one center. I just wondered going into this season if we should expect what we saw, you know, at that level last year. And I think, like I said, the COVID have been hindering him a little bit too. So as we go in the next couple of weeks, we'll see if he gets stronger and starts to get back to where we want him to be.
And also, before you and thank you very much, Glenn. Glenn NYR on Twitter, that's his Twitter handle. That's another thing, not just the COVID, Glenn, but also two of those three seasons, he's had long stretches of injuries. And we got to remember that too. If he's his availability is everything with him as far as getting staying continuing to go. So yeah, thank you very much, Glenn. Hey, Craig, your final thoughts as well.
Steve, don't jinx it with Heedle out 4 to 6 weeks. Don't talk about Zibanejad's injury.
That
please.
That hit, man. I mean, it is what
you
it
know,
is,
man.
But, man,
don't be tempted to faith, Steve.
But that hit he took in Pittsburgh, man, I mean, he was just left open, man. I mean,
I thought he got hit, like, in the chest. So I'm wondering if he broke a couple of ribs or something, maybe. I don't think it was a shoulder. I thought he got hit flush on in the chest. So it might be, some kind of rib area problem or hopefully not, a punctured lung or something like that.
Right. Yeah, it was dead on, man. It didn't look good from the jump. I knew something was going to be bad with that. But shout out to Glenn, man. Craig, your final thoughts too, man.
Yeah, it goes back to consistency. It goes back to building a foundation. And you don't start building the foundation of a house and then start changing the plans halfway through. Same thing with our lines. I am going to say one thing. I'm going to say one thing about our goalkeepers and no matter who we got back there, if one of my goalkeepers got beat in a soccer game and they came all disappointed and upset, I always looked at them and said, well, wait a minute, what about the other 10 guys in front of you? So just like in mm-hmm. hockey, what about the other 5 guys that are out there on the ice, not winning the faceoffs and getting beat on defense and soft passes. And yeah, there have been a couple goals here and there. Both bullies have given up that they shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, those other 5 guys are getting beat on the ice too. So we've got to just build up that foundation, build up that consistency, and, go from there. I think Zibanejad, I wondered that too. Like if he's nursing an injury and maybe not saying something, especially if you get hit in the chest like that and there's so many things that could be going on that you don't even know about. Okay, the thing about COVID, I'll tell you what, I had COVID back in August, and I started feeling real good in, like, November, December, and recently I started having, like, breathing problems again. I was like, man, mm-hmm. I'm having trouble breathing. Doctor says, yeah, that's residual COVID. That stuff mm-hmm. sticks with you for, they said, 6 months to a year as far mm-hmm. as the effects. So maybe that is, I don't know mm-hmm. what's going on with him, but I think I agree with Glenn. I think, we'll see later on if he gets another streak like that. But that was kind of crazy last year. So don't know if that's something that we're going to keep seeing or just kind of a freak thing. So, mm-hmm. I think we got to have the consistency. We got to we got to let those guys make their mistakes and come back and be able to correct their mistakes instead of just yanking them or pulling them from their line and moving them around. So it's got to be all about the consistency.
Hey, Craig, before you go, last point, and because, you know, for anybody who has COVID, I haven't had it, and can you explain how it went? Now, I know, I don't know if it's too sensitive, if, you know, let us know, but as far as having COVID, now translate that into what could be maybe affecting Zibanejad's game, because Zibanejad, let's be real, like, this year, he is not as fast on the ice like he was last year, clear cut, like we were talking about the production. He's just not as fast. And do you think a lot of that has to do with that, or is it just a new season, no training camp? But he's a professional. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you what, and I'm always open about my health. All right? For those that don't know, I'm on kidney dialysis. I'm waiting for a kidney transplant someday here. But COVID with me, when I had it, I was not bad. It was after I got done that I started having the after effects. And one of the after effects I had, and one of the reasons a lot of people were dying from it is because it was forming blood clots on my lungs. And so it really hits the lungs hard. And if you can't breathe, you can't walk from your living room to your bathroom, let alone play a professional hockey game. So it takes the oxygen and drops it down to about 80 to 75%, and it takes everything out of you. So, it affects the lungs, those small blood vessels that you need for breathing and everything. There could be something there. There very well could be. I'm not a doctor, but I've had COVID, so that's where I experienced it.
I think you're right, Steve. He doesn't have the burst he had last year, you know?
That's the word, burst.
He's not skating away from guys. And that's what he seems to be missing from last year. So I think it's very possible that the COVID is having, some residual effect on him.
Great points, guys. Great points, man. This episode, the Blue Shirts Fall Into the Sabres, of course, with Glenn and Craig and Ranger Proud and myself. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Always all episodes on BleedBlueShow.com, our website, /podcast. We'll be back next Tuesday. We'll be in between games. That will be Pittsburgh and Washington, I believe. So we'll have the second game versus Pittsburgh. That Monday will be on Tuesday, 9 p.m. Next Tuesday night, 9 p.m., and then heading up into the game versus the Capitals. So, guys, enjoy your evening. Hopefully the Rangers can turn it around in a short season, and hopefully we can get something going starting this Thursday versus these same Sabres. All right, bleed blue. Sangre azul.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.